believe, but I'm almost certain it's true, that St. Aloysius, my home parish, is celebrating 150 years. 150 years St. Aloysius Church has been there in good old Pee Wee Valley, and they are celebrating 150 years today, and, well, this weekend, which is just pretty cool to know that I've come from a place that has raised me along with my family, has taught me the faith, and has been there for 150 years. In reflecting upon that reality, I recalled an event, or really kind of a question, that had been in my mind as a young person for quite some time. I knew, because I'd been to Mass and listened, and that what we did at Mass had a lot to do with, and now, remember, I was young. What we did at Mass had a lot to do with bread and wine. Sometimes we talked about fish. And we had done the Seder meal as well, and so I knew there was radishes involved. And I knew that I didn't like radishes. But I kept wondering, what is it about the cheese? Why cheese? What's with the cheese? You see, on the altar at the chapel of St. Aloysius, right here on the altar, was a triangular foam yellow thing that sat there. No one ever did anything with it. And so finally, I asked one of my teachers, one of my catechists, what's with the cheese? What do we do with the cheese? And she said, Adam, that's the microphone. You see, we didn't have those high-tech gadgets that we do now. They were probably still using one from 150 years ago when the church was built. It was a microphone. And if I had never asked that, I could have, to this day, wondered, why did we have cheese on the altar at Aloysius? Why did we do that? We can, even and especially with things that are very important to us, get confused. We can think that we see something and know something like the cheese on the altar and begin to miss the important parts. And the thing is, until God or someone else through charity is able to show us that we're mistaken, we know that we're right. I knew that there was cheese on the altar. And yet there wasn't. You may have seen this on the internet. Mike, what number is that? It's a 6? No, it's not. It's a 9. Can't you see it's a 9? You think it's a 6? What do you all think that number is? It's a 6? A 6? It looks like a 9 to me. Looks definitely like a 9 to me. I made it real big so everyone in the back could see. Sometimes you see this on the internet, two people pointing a number on the ground saying 6 or 9. And depending upon your viewpoint, your vantage point, both, the argument is, are correct. But the thing that is misleading about this, and the thing that we must keep in mind, is that someone at some point put that number on the ground. Why is it there? What is it meant for? There's several sixes here on the music board, and I trust Christina meant those to be sixes and not nines. They're there for a purpose. They have a reason. And we can get caught up in thinking, oh, it's just my perspective. It's just the way I look at it. It must be that. We must remember that for many things, there is a relative nature to it. When it comes to your favorite ice cream, one does not have the definitive answer. One cannot say strawberry ice cream is best. And if you don't agree with me, you're wrong. You can't do that. That's not a true statement, because there is no really best ice cream in that sense. And there is taste to take into account. But when it comes to who we are and what we are made for, we probably should ask our Creator, the one who put the 6 or the 9 on us in our own hearts. And as we look down upon ourselves and wonder, who am I? We may find that just like that cheese on that altar so many years ago, we actually are mistaken. We weren't looking at it in the right way. We had a faulty vision. And we need God's grace to help us understand. In our second reading today, he's going on about, he's speaking about how there's internal turmoil. The question is asked, why are there wars in the world? And he says, there are wars in the world because there is war in your heart. You don't know who you are. There's conflict. There's inner struggle. And because of that, there is an outpouring of that struggle into the world. We don't always know who we are. And we can get very confused about what that means. Take our disciples in our gospel, for example. They are arguing amongst one another, who is the greatest, when the Son of God is right there with them. The answer to that question is none of them are the greatest. They have the greatest right there. Well, Muhammad Ali, maybe, has been there. I don't know why, I just remember that. Somebody used that joke earlier, too. Muhammad Ali might be the greatest, but Jesus in this circumstance, he is the greatest. He is the only one who could fulfill that answer. And yet they argue back and forth amongst one another. And if you take a look at the circumstances, they're much like our gospel reading from last weekend, where Peter tells Jesus he must be wrong. In this reading, the disciples, the apostles, hear that they must follow after Christ and suffer and die in a similar way. And instead of looking at that and asking themselves, what does that mean for me in my life? They kind of put it to the side very happily too, I think. We don't want to think about that. We don't want to go there. We don't like that. Let's talk instead about who's the greatest. Let's have that conversation. That you're looking at the 6, and you think it's a 9. And yet, Christ is there to help redirect them. When we are open to God's grace in our lives, then these realities can make sense to us. If we're open, once we've become aware that we might have a little problem with our vision every now and then, a need for someone else to remind us it's written on the board and it's actually a 6, that we can begin to see and to know for sure who it is that we are called to be. Our first reading today is about a prophet. Ezekiel is speaking about how the people are putting the prophet to the test. The Son of God, it says. Now, this is a foreshadowing of Christ's death, but it's also all of those who spoke the truth who came before him. And so Ezekiel, as a prophet, he's experiencing something similar. He is being put down. He's being attacked. He's being told that you're making our lives uncomfortable. We're going to put you to the test. Ezekiel is there to remind the people that they need to take another look at themselves. The things that they know for sure might not be so certain after all. We as human beings want to know that we're right. And the thing is we'll always think we're right. When we're open in humility, we can recognize that truly, if God is in our lives, if God is present to us, and I believe that he is here and now, that we don't have to be right. We don't have to get the answer right. We just have to know the teacher himself, to know that He, Jesus Christ, has the answer. Let us as individuals and as a community today ask Jesus Christ to show us.